quality of bitachon. This idea of bitachon, it would have bitachon in particular, is something which I may want to speak about more at some point. There's some very interesting essays that have been written about it over the years by some of the Rishonim, and then later some of the Achronim, especially in light of some things. But so we won't be able to do all of that today. We'll just speak a little bit on some issues. So we began with the position of Ramban, which is really very mechudash or unusual, that Avraham Avinu's approach, both of leaving Eretz Yisrael at the time of the famine, and in the way that he wanted to protect himself and ostensibly also Sarah, by saying Achosi, according to the Ramban, that was a big chet, and it was responsible partially for the galus that followed. We noted already that the Ramban's position is very mechudash. It's not based on a much that comes before it, which says a lot about the Ramban's derech and parshanut, his sense of conviction, etc. The Ramban is very consistent. That's the second point that we made. Unlike the other Mefarshim, he doesn't think that Sarah was particularly acquiescent in this approach, which makes sense if it, is halachically and hashkafically problematic. Obviously, Avraham Avinu didn't think so, but that others could argue. It wasn't obvious, certainly. Moreover, that it's not something that, kind of caught him unaware, because if it caught him unaware, so, maybe his calculation otherwise would have been different, and that's a kind of an onus, that he doesn't deserve such a chet gadol, even if it's one that's only b'shogeg. Again, the Radak and others say, he had no clue that he was going to come across this kind of uncivilized, different kind of, experience in terms of a culture. The Radak even implies that had he known it, then, he would have, he really would have stayed where he was, which is also interesting, despite the sakana, because Radak, as we noted already, is convinced that the proper decision in terms of hishtadlus versus bitachon was the hishtadlus one. But he seems to indicate that had Avraham Avinu known that on the Sara part of it, at least, what he was going to encounter, then in Achanani maybe he would have stayed where, despite the sakana. But the Ramban l'shitaso, I think, in addition to being very innovative, the Ramban is usually very consistent as well. It's a well thought out, the Ramban notices everything, and he also is usually quite consistent, and there are times not, but often. In addition to that, the Ramban's position reflects a certain perspective on Parshanut in general. That's what I quoted of Shamshon Rafal Hirsch about. The idea that even the Avos, were sometimes in error, that only the Rabbonu Shalom is perfect, that Tanakh has stories to learn from. I tried to provide a corrective to that by saying that, Bizman HaZeh, in our time, we really encounter two types of Parshanut, often, two opposite types. The one that really does whitewash and assumes that, there's no connection to the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Again, the impulse behind that is the idea that the men of Tanakh and the women of Tanakh were great people, and it couldn't possibly be that they, could fall prey to these kind of spiritual mistakes. The impulse is a good one in the sense that it reflects great reverence for the personalities of Tanakh, which are totally deserving. But, the conclusion ends up being to, either pilpalize, if you can make that into a verb, what's going on, in a way that it has very little, to recognize it in terms of the Pshuto Shel Mikra, or to make, the decisions, into very kind of technical and in some cases, very minute miscalculations, which also tends to trivialize them somewhat. The opposite perspective that we encounter sometimes is, Pshuto Shel Mikra unvarnished, with the kind of condescending, approach that, obviously the Torah means what it says, And, you know, if this is what's described there, then this is what it is. But, again, that's often done very crudely so that the people of Tanakh, the great, you know, personalities and heroes of our history, of world history, really, you know, end up being just, you know, regular people, you know, subject to the same kind of pettiness that anyone is subject to. And I think the more traditional approach of the Medrash and of the Parshanim, classical Parshanim, is to see a correspondence, this is my formulation, but I think this is really what there it is, between, you know, what the psukim describe in Tanakh, but, you know, one which is, based on an assessment and an evaluation of the greatness of the people. And if that's the case, so Yosef's brothers were indeed jealous of him, and the kind of jealousy that they exhibited, you know, is parallel to the petty jealousy, you know, that brothers or you know, colleagues or people can have one towards the other. But, and if it wasn't jealousy, it wouldn't be called jealousy. If it wasn't a chet, it wouldn't be a bechi el adoros, which was punished the way that it was. But since these were great men, so it wasn't about money, and it wasn't just about, you know, not being able to suffer, you know, when the father complimented or he made showed preference, you know, one to the other, because these were great men who certainly were capable of rising above those kind of things. And therefore, in their minds, or maybe in reality, you know, the stakes were much greater. And, you know, maybe it really, they felt it was, and maybe at some level, you know, for them it really was about Rodef and other things. But it was the instinct of kinna that we feel in a petty way, in a crude way, in our own lives, you know, that was at root of, and is parallel to, what happened there. So we take into account the great reverence. You know, it's like, again, if you would know any, you know, story that you know of, and you also know the people involved, you know, that can, the context, the framework, can completely transform the, it doesn't change the events in some cases, it doesn't even change the broad outlines of what happened, in some cases it does, but you understand there have to be mitigating circumstances, because this is a great man, this is a person with a certain track record, he's not petty, he's not selfish, he's not greedy. For him to have done this, that, and the next thing, I'm not talking about anything or a person specifically, given what you know about him, his track record, obviously there had to be, you know, some sort of other cheshbon. But that doesn't mean it didn't happen, and it doesn't mean that he isn't culpable. You know, Chazal have the view, kol gadol mechaver yitzor gadol heimenu as well. And we hold great men to a higher standard. We can even, therefore, sometimes define their sins using the same terminology, because there really is a correspondence and maybe even a root of that same idea when applied, you know, to pettier people. But it's because we hold them to that higher stand. Maybe the petty people, for the petty people, that wouldn't be jealousy or greed or a lack of bitachon, etc. But for, you know, personality X, you know, given his stature and his experiences and his, you know, abilities and so on and so forth, you know, it is, and therefore we get the relevance with the reverence together. That's the traditional perspective of Medrash. Obviously there are differences in different Midrashim and different Parshanim, etc., but broadly speaking, and that's really kind of what the Ramban, you know, in the finest tradition of that is saying here, and Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch, the passage of which I read last week, he doesn't speak about the balance or the other parts, but is basically very excited about this Ramban and talks about, you know, the greatness of the Avos being the fact, you know, that they were people, that they were subject to, you know, temptations, that they did make mistakes, and yet, you know, that they rose above it, and even their mistakes were mistakes of a different quality, even if there was a great correspondence between them. It's, you know, the Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch goes a step further, which I didn't read last time. You know, he says, and even, you know, he's a little bit critical of the Ramban, also in a fascinating way. He says, you know, and even if the Ramban is right, you know, that Avraham Avinu, you know, didn't have enough, you know, bitachon, and that really was a tremendous flaw, he says it's very difficult to accept the idea that, you know, he was punished, you know, because of that. Not because of the whitewashing and so on and so forth, but because there should also be, this is a fascinating idea, a kind of a Masorah based on experiences and the exposure to great men and great personalities of how to, you know, really come to grips with and conduct oneself, you know, in very trying circumstances where situations are complex and so on. So he says, now it is easy for the Ramban and for us to say Avram should have remained in Canaan, and in Egypt he should have relied on God. He who said to you, to your seed will I give this land, right, could have provided for you in a miraculous way. I'm not reading it in the original German, you might, you know, have noticed. But Hifla Hashem Chasidlo. Hashem provides manna for people, for food, even in the wilderness. Ki malachav yitzavalach lishmorcha b'chol derachecha. Then he adds, it's easy for us to say this in hindsight with the benefit of vast experience of our history. Indeed, shluchei mitzvah einan nizakin. But Avram Avinu and his descendants had to learn all this from their own experience. Avram did not have the example of another Avraham before him. Then he goes on to the next point, which is the point I want to speak of, you know, mostly, which is, you know, the dialectic of Ein Som Chanal Anes and Bitachon itself. But this is a fascinating point, one which I don't think everybody would agree to, namely that especially when it comes to the fine line, you know, in making, you know, decisions where you have to choose, you know, where there's an anomalous situation where you can't have Ein Som Chanal Anes and Bitachon, and you have to choose, that sometimes, you know, there's a historical development in that too. Like, in time, the norm, you know, becomes clearer to Klal Yisrael. This is an idea, you know, which implicitly rests on a certain notion of hashgacha, as well, again, as on a certain reverence, you know, for the input, you know, of great personalities, great halachic personalities and hashgafic personalities, you know, in Jewish history. I mean, this idea that Avraham didn't have an Avraham to rely upon, and therefore even if he made the wrong decision, you know, it's hard to say that he would be held to this kind of a standard, is a remarkable idea, but one which is very compelling. It's also the idea that certain things become clearer, you know, as the Chachmei HaMesorah, you know, reinforce them throughout the generations, but sometimes that takes a while. We're not talking about, you know, Chilul Shabbos. You know, we're talking about things that are very, very subtle. And here's where, you know, history unfolds, you know, hashkafic and halachic history, too. The Chassam Sofer says this about a very different topic, you know, discussing, you know, issues of Ikarei Amuna. You know, he raises the question why it is that, you know, if indeed, according to the Rambam, there are Ikarei Amuna, and, you know, they are binding, Jew has to believe them. So how do you explain, you know, the Shitos Yachid in the Gemara or elsewhere who don't hold that way? Right, partially that was the Raibid's comment against the Rambam as well, when he said Rabim, whatever he said, Tugirsos, Rabim Vitovim, you know, Mimeka, you know, have held these views. So the Chassam Sofer has a very nice explanation of this, where he basically says that it's possible that, you know, defining Ikarei Amuna, you know, is something, at least in the more subtle areas, which develop, you know, as the Chachmei HaMesorah grappled with it. And the fact that there was, you know, a Tana or an Amora, or maybe even a Rishon, right, who had a different view in his time, doesn't mean that it's acceptable, you know, to have that kind of view after decades and decades and centuries, and in some cases millennia, right, of Chachmei HaMesorah, you know, deciding in a certain way. Again, this is, you know, Rav Hirsch is saying it, you know, in the Lahakel way. Like, how can you hold Avram Avinu accountable for such a thing? And Chassam Sofer was trying to say it more in the Lahachmir way, meaning don't invoke, you know, earlier disagreements. You know, no one is suggesting that those people are out of the fold, but there's a certain momentum, you know, to the way that Chachmei HaMesorah deal with issues, the Dore Doros. But this is, I think, that they share something in common, and it's an important perspective. Anyways, so there's a lot, just, you know, just if we analyze the Ramban's Perush here, even before we get to the, you know, the crux of the issue itself of Bitachon and Ein Somchin al Anes, just in terms of, you know, Parshanut and these issues, there's a lot, as I say, to talk about and to develop. Most of the Farshim, as we noted last time, disagree with Ramban on the crux of the issue. And I started to discuss what the nature of this Machlokas really is. In other words, the Radak, the Rabbeinu Yonah, disagree. The Netziv disagrees as well. If you want later, Farshim. Ki chaved ha-ra'av ba'aretz, kefal ha-kasuv la-hodiya shekol od shaya efshal ishtadel limka rechusho v'liftoach ba-shem asa. Ad shemikol makom kaved alav ha-ra'av. He didn't go when he was hungry. Right? He didn't go when the famine first struck. Right? It was only when it was heavy upon him. Az kiem ba'atzmo Rav Ba'ir Pazer Raglecha, Rav Ba'ir Pazer Raglecha, Kid Isa. Vahaya Bazen Nisayon La Avram Avinu, Shlo Hikbid Elahavin, Shekachu Atzas Hashem, Uritzono. Velo Karamban, Shekasav, Shechata Bemeshi Yatsa, Shehayla Liftoach Bashem. The Vadai Batach Kol Havshar, Avakach Ala Bemachshava, Lefanav Yizbarach. Vain the Tmal, Shehigia Haraav, L'chalala medina b'shvil eza tachlis l'avram v'zaro, shavadai kachu amida, achar shatachlis olim b'shvil oso tzadik, and so on. So this is the view of, the most standard view. Generally speaking, in the dialectic between ishtadlus, let's say, and bitachon, certainly in the Rishonim and even in the Achronim, as we're reading, at least, of that age, the Ramban's position was considered to be the more problematic of the positions. And not because bitachon is a small matter or not a weighty one. As I already indicated, Rabbeinu Yonah himself, in a couple of places, we read them last time, indicates very strongly that, bitachon, even a price for bitachon, should be paid. Bitachon is a very critical idea. Just so when you reach the point of Ein Somchin al Anes, right, that no longer applies. The same is true, I say, with the Radak. The Radak even implies that had Avram Avinu known what he was putting, what he was going to put Sarah through, then the right thing would have been, right, to endure the Sakana, that the question of, about as Gilia Rayos and Yehoring Valyavar, or even on the, Bitachon versus Ein Somchin al Anes issue. Hopefully get to that soon. Ksuvus, a little bit of it. Hard to know. But certainly the Radak is not a makil in Bitachon. And, like the Netziv, like others, one of the Nisyonos of Avram Avinu was this Ra'av Ba'aretz. Shelo Hirher Achar Midosai. And of course that's, what part of the Nisayon of the Akedah as well. Shelo Hirher Achar Midosai Shebatach Ba'ashem. So there's a different kind of bitachon. That isn't the bitachon to stay and to starve. It's the bitachon to not question, which I'll get back to. We shouldn't underestimate that bitachon either. Not to have theological, problems, with what's happening. And to have certain faith that there is a pattern, that there is a program, and that, previous haftachos are not undermined. Whether it's Kibi Yitzhak Kikari L'Chazara or the, promise of Eretz Yisrael. That, too, is part of the bitachon. So it's not that the Radak and Rabbeinu Yonah are makil on bitachon. They just feel in this particular case, for sure, and even generally, that the Hishtadlos part, that the Ein Somchin al Anes part, is something which is consistent with bitachon. Yeah?
Just to maybe go back to a point before. Yeah. So you're talking about whether it's whitewashing or is it kind of portraying that too crudely to the point where it's kind of low naive. Yeah. So, but I heard like a main argument on the people that would say that they interpret them crudely. The idea is that when they do have that transcendent moment, for example, that Avram finally, right, that like he's this normal person who had this transcendent moment and he became like the Avram Avinu. In other words,
well, put it this way, Ve'amin b'Hashem b'akshaveh tzedakah is not the first time that Avram Avinu is you know, establishes his credentials. That's where I would argue. That is an epiphany and a moment, and it's a higher level of his you know, development. What I'm objecting to is the idea, is the crude idea. Avraham Avinu was like anybody else.
Right.
I mean, lech lecha, me'artecha, me'maladetecha, v'heye bracha, v'agadla shemecha. Even in addition to, you know, what's missing in the Torah, which is, you know, where did Avraham Avinu sprout from? How did he find, you know, the Rabbono Shel Olam? You know, which is obviously intentionally omitted, but, you know, which we have a Masorah about too. But even just take Pshuto Shel Mikra, Avraham Avinu is already established as a person of great stature, picked by the Rabbono Shel Olam. So to say, you know, oh, you know, the payoff is that min b'Hashem b'yachshaveh tzedakah, it's still a payoff. It's a payoff if he's a great man too, and he already is a great man. So what I would say is you never need to be crude, you know, and irreverent, you know, in order to get the payoff of relevance. Irreverence is not the ticket to relevance, right? You get relevance through correspondence and just through, you know, watching the lives of these great men, which are still inspirational because they encounter challenges and they made decisions. And one of the things Rav Hirsch is saying also, I'm expanding it obviously, is that that's part of my Sa'avo Simon Labanim in a way too, right? As they forever changed through their mistakes or through their constructive, you know, normative decisions. They change the course of how we look at things. That's plenty inspirational, as long as they're not superhuman, lacking Yetzirah, incapable of, you know, of mistakes or flaws, etc. You get the payoff of the relevance and the inspiration without having to compromise what just, you know, not only religion tells us, but our common sense tells us, which is these are people who were picked for great things, who had unbelievable impact, who the decisions that they made didn't flow, come from a vacuum. I mean, Avraham Avinu was capable of Vayachshaveh Hemin Bashem, and he was also capable of an Akedah. And, you know, the Medrash says, Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha. You know, we're not sure which one. He was capable of turning his back on a society and culture. So we already know that he was just, you know, unless you want to be a poor literary reader, forget about religion even, you know, you'd have to, just have to, you know, be a very crude reader, not to think that Avraham Avinu was extraordinary. That doesn't mean that he can't be wrong, and it doesn't mean that he can't, you know, be found, you know, wanting in you know, situation. But, you know, why, as I say, if you know somebody to be extraordinary, then, you know, you have to calculate that into the way that you assess. But still, the Torah uses language intentionally, which implies, you know, certain things. And all of that has to be calculated. Anyways, on the bitokon and the Ein Som Chol Hanes level, you have a very fascinating argument, I say, and it's not as if the other people are short on bitokon. The question is the Ramban a light on Ein Som Chol Hanes? Well, Ein Som Chol Hanes is a Gemara in Psachim, and the Medrash Chazal invoke it several times as well. In addition to that, the Ramban himself, in different places, invokes Ein Som Chol Hanes. The dialectic of bitachon and ishtadlos is something that the Ramban invokes in the beginning of Vayishlach, as I read and we noted last time, right? Bedoron, bimulchama, ubetvila. But the Ramban in different places in his Perush al HaTorah specifically projects Ein Som Chol Hanes. Albeit, it must be said, not in situations where there's any kind of clash with bitachon. So that, for example, in Parshas Emor, there is a very fascinating Ramban, which ties in a little bit with what Itamar quoted last week about the Ramban's view of tzaddikim. And what was the line? You had it by heart there. It was pretty impressive. What was that line about the tzaddikim and the level of hashgacha? Weren't you quoting that by heart? No. Anyways, the Ramban happens to have a very high view of tzaddikim, as we know. So Ramban in Parshas Emor has a, you know, kedarko. He's medayik in the psukim. How come sometimes when Aaron HaKohen is addressed, so he is, you know, he's addressed himself. Sometimes it's Aaron speaking to, you know, Banav, Right, the Torah has different formulations. So the Mefarshim noted, right, the you know these changes. So the Ramban in Emor, I think I wrote it down somewhere where it is. Did I? Maybe. Maybe not. Yeah. Perek Chafalev Pasuk Yud Zayin. I'm trying to examine this Ramban on its merits at the moment. Daber al Aaron ish mizaracha. Lo amar b'kan daber al Aaron v'el banav. Kashar amar b'parshios kulan. Why the discrepancy? So Ramban says an amazing thing. V'lo yirtze lahazhir es Aaron atzma b'toras mumit. Ki Aaron kadosh Hashem kulo yafo mumlo yiebo. Aval yazirenu al zaro. Meaning it would be impossible for Aaron. Remember, Aaron is being addressed at a certain stage in his career. There's physically no reason why Aaron can't develop a mum at some point. Right? The Ramban says the Torah intentionally doesn't address him about himself. He's kind of, you know, above this particular tzivui, because since he's a Kadosh Hashem, kula yafo mum la yebo. On the contrary, Parshas Atuma, right, becoming exposed to Tuma, that's something that can happen. Ki tachein shegam Aaron ira tumas amaga b'meisa b'sheretz. As for tzaras and zav, chazav yamar ish ish mizera Aaron ki lo ye'era ze begufo ki malach Hashem tzavakosu. Of course, playing on the pasuk, you know, Tori yavakshu mipiu about the Kohen Gadol. So, anyways, the Ramban is very convinced that they're. You know, you don't have to address Aaron in terms of Mum, in terms of Zav, in terms of the Torah. Then he points out that Torah's Kohanim doesn't see it this way. But Torah's Kohanim, there's a limud in both of these cases. Zera Aaron, Eli Elazaro, Aaron Atzmo Minayin. So then the Ramban says, either that means Pirish Aaron Atzmo is also fascinating. HaKohen HaGadol Takhtav Mibanav. Sometimes Aaron, we talked about this in the context of Yom Kippur, right, sometimes Aaron HaKohen is Aaron HaKohen, and sometimes Aaron HaKohen is a way of saying, Kohen Gadol. He's the paradigm of Kohen Gadol. Okay. Ki babur shehitar aninus l'Kohen Gadol ula yater amum v'hataras v'hutzok l'raboso o shetirmoz din Aaron atzmo ki lo tismo chatora ba'azro seha alanes aval kistol Aaron l'chvodo. So the Torah writes it in such a way, and the Sifra is right, but the diuk and the Pesukim is right too, as if to say, this is never going to happen to Aaron, but in theory, the halacha has to build in, or in a remez, that it could, because the halacha doesn't operate on the basis of bitachon. It operates on the basis of the principle of ein somchin alanes. So this is like an ambivalent one in the Ramban, when you come with a clash between your, not bitachon and the Rabbanu Shalom, but your strong conviction, which flows from other things about, tzaddikim, let's say, and their stature, but lotismo chalanes. In a different kind of dialectic, but a parallel one. When it comes to counting of Klal Yisrael in Bamidbar, so again, Kedarko, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Memhei, the Ramban says, I don't understand this mitzvah at all, why we had to know every single why each individual had to be singled out. It's also very fascinating in the famous Ramban, where he talks about, the presence of Moshe and Aaron, almost like, it's the closest to Chassidus you get in the Ramban. The Ramban says, maybe the individual member of Klal Yisrael being seen by and blessed by, Moshe and Aaron, maybe that was like a special, he doesn't use the word segula, but, he could have. That was a special a bracha and had like impact on their lives. Maybe the Ramban is basically trying to find a good reason why there should be an independent mitzvah of counting every member of Klal Yisrael. So in the end, the Ramban says v'itachein that it was important to do this because kachi derech hamalachim, that before a war you just have to know mi v'mi haholchen, and even though there was bitachon that the Rabbanu Shalom, if he was going to lead them in a mochamba, was going to ensure that they succeed, still, and he used the expression again, ein somchin al anes. Similarly, in Parshas Shlach, the Ramban, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, who speaks about the whole Meraglim issue. The Ramban has a famous piece on that as well. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was right, Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong. You know, again, that's also a kind of a bitachon. The Ribbono Shel Olam said he's going to, you know, he's going to give them Eretz Yisrael. So did they need Meraglim or not? Once again, the Ramban says, you know, because Ein Somchin Alanes. But the point is that the Ramban is, you know, acknowledges this. The problem here is that, you know, both of these concepts are correct, and the question is what happens when they clash in a way, you know, that, you know, is, you know, is almost mutually exclusive. So does the Ramban disagree in that case or not? So I think that there are two perspectives here. Number one is to suggest that the factors themselves here played a role. And that works well with the Ramban's general view. In other words, what are the two factors that the Ramban accentuates here? One is Yishuv Haaretz, right? Leaving Eretz Yisrael bizman that there's a Ra'av. And the other one is putting his wife, Sarah, right, in this kind of unsatisfactory, you know, circumstance. So in a way, the counter pressure here, that's when it comes to the question of bitachon versus ein somchin al hanes, it could be that the first chiddush of the Ramban is that, you know, the stakes are obviously important. Just like this is something called the horeg val yavor, right? Despite v'chai bahem v'lo sheyamus bahem, despite sakana, which we'll talk about, right? So too, when you have a clash, it isn't quite the same. That's why the lists aren't the same. When you have a clash between bitachon and losis and being somech al hanes, maybe the reason, right, or the particular issue, right, that is that requires your bitachon or that is being sacrificed, you know, to prevent reliance upon the nes, maybe that matters too. And as we know, the factor of Eretz Yisrael for the Ramban is a transcendent one. It's a leitmotif in all of his writings, especially in his Perush al HaTorah, but also in his, you know, Chidushim et Gittin and in Megillah and in his Drashos. Right, for the Ramban, Eretz Yisrael isn't just, you know, a place where ideally, you know, Jews should live, even if there are no mitzvahs at least. But Aretz is a mitzvah of Yeshiva Aretz, and the, you know, transcendence of life in Eretz Yisrael, you know, in terms of a more direct relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, Chichelek Hashem Amo, Yaakov Chevel Nachal Aso. This is a theme that the Ramban returns to again and again. Ramban speaks about the, you know, the land almost as if it has a personality. You know, the things that it, based on Chazal, but he expands them, the things that it can tolerate, the things that it can't. So the idea of Eretz Yisrael particularly may have been a factor here. Again, similarly, the Rashbam, interestingly enough, the Rashbam understood that the Nisayon of the Akedah for Avram Avinu was an Onesh. That's a very extraordinary view too. And it was an Onesh for making a Krisas Bris, you know, regarding Eretz Yisrael, which the Rashbam said he had no right to do because it was part of the Ribbono Shel Olam's Haftacha. So he was punished with the Admas Nefesh of the Akedah. That's one man, one part. The other part, of course, is the question of Tznius and Ishus. Right? We know from the Ramban's Perush on Kedoshim Tiyu and a little bit, you know, Lo Yeh Kadesh, Lo Siyeh Kadesha, we spoke recently about the Bezdin role of all of that, that again, for the Ramban, the standards of Tznius and this whole area, right, are a critical part of Kedushas Yisrael. So if the two things, again, even the Radak seems to say that had Avram Avinu known, you know, what Sarah was going to have to endure, despite the Radak's coming squarely on the side of, you know, Ein Somchin al Hanes, he wouldn't have left Eretz Yisrael. That's a chiddush of the Radak. Anyways, it could be that the Ramban basically agrees with the other Mefarshim about this general dialectic, but the details sometimes are koveya. What is it, you know, that you are sacrificing? But I think the impression that we get from the Ramban is more than that. And this is only an impression. And that is that, you know, while he recognizes, of course, in Somchen al Anes, in most circumstances, the Ramban really does, even more than other Mefarshim, perhaps, you know, place a great deal of emphasis on the concept of bitachon. I think this is very consistent, as we discussed, both in terms of access to Nisim Nistarim and the idea behind Nisim Nistarim, meaning if there's somebody who projects, you know, the theme of Hashgacha in a very central way, again, Itamar was pointing out last week, when he still remembered the quote, that this is even more so for Tzadikim, Gemurim, right? But it, as I say, it's not a din, it's not like the Beis Halevi, who I still like to speak about, in talking about Yosef, who says, well, bitachon always beats out, you know, Ein Somchel al Anes, basically, and bitachon is an absolute thing, it's more important than ishtadlus, but it only works, you know, for, or is something that only a tzaddik is able to, you know, to rise to. Everybody has this view, but only a tzaddik seems to be able to accomplish it. That's not, you know, what the Ramban is saying. But the notion of hashgacha and the idea that hashgacha goes so far as even to control, you know, nes nistar, whether there is or isn't a natural order, which remains an open question in the Ramban, is something which fits in very well with an expanded view of bitachon. The Ramban himself, in Tamim Tiyam, Hashem Alokecha, also goes that route. The Ramban's view of Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim as the source of Hashgacha generally, and what that means, is of course part of this general story. But I think it's particularly highlighted by the Ramban's view of Mocham. The Ramban has a very interesting perspective, very complex perspective, on bitachon and yira and pachad in the context of mucham. The psukim here in there are some psukim already in Akev, which he weighs in on, and then again the psukim in Shoftim. Beginning with Perakov, ki teitzela milchama loivecha v'ra'isa sus v'rechev amrav mimcha lo sira mehem ki Hashem alokecha imach hamalcha me'eretz Mitzrayim. It's also interesting that the pasuk says hamalcha me'eretz Mitzrayim here. Anyways, this pasuk is subject to already big machlokas in the sugyas and sota, right? The iser of this parsha, right? V'divra shotrim mi'a isha sharbana bayis chadash v'lo chanacho. But then, of course, also v'yasvu ashotrim l'daber mi'ha'ish ha'yarei v'rach ha'levav yelech v'yashov l'beiso lo yimasas levav echav kilavavo, and so on. So this idea of lo yirach levav and lo yira are very, very challenging, obviously. It's clear that, you know, the natural tendency of man is to be in a state of fear when he's in battle. And what is it that the Torah really wants from us, you know, in this context? So I say there's already machlokas Tanoim, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Akiva, you know, who is disqualified, you know, who is the object of the Shoter's speech. I don't want to go into all the details right now. It's you have to work it out. It's very complicated. But just on the Rishonim level, even it's interesting to note that the Rambam counts lo yerach levavcha and lo yira or sira in mitzvah slos asei nun ches as a mitzvah. Now, if you read the Rambam, it's not so clear. I have it here, but we have to finish in 30 seconds. So it's not so clear in the Rambam. No more. Yeah, like a minute and a half, right? It's not so clear in the Rambam that, you know, whether this is attitudinal, it's emotional, meaning you're really obligated to master your emotions, or is this primarily, you know, for the greater emphasis in the Rambam, which is that, you know, you can't run away and you can't retreat, and the impact that would have on others, and therefore the emotional part, you know, you have to mechazik yourself in the emotional part because of the physical part. Or no, there also is a kiyum in the emotional part per se. In the Rambam, it's a little unclear. Either way, the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos attacks this Rambam and says that these psukim are a haftacha, they're not etzivui. And he argues, because otherwise, why is the Shotrim, if they're really a lav, why is the Shotrim, you know, making this speech? The guy's an Avarian and he should do tshuva. Sounds a little harsh anyway. But the Megillas Esther, the Leiv Sameach, all the Mefarshim on the Sefer Mitzvos join this particular discussion. But what's fascinating is if you look at the Ramban himself in his Perush al Torah on these psukim, the Ramban makes a very strong case for bitachon. Now again, this is not bitachon versus ein somchin al hanes, hishtadlus, but it does reflect, again, a very ambitious ability to be boteach, let's say, and even in circumstances, you know, that are very trying. Kitetzel mechama v'risa sus v'rechev zu mitzvah mechudeshes. Amar lehem ata b'voam b'mechamos. Even though in Sefer Mitzvahs he doesn't count it, he does think that there's a chiddush in these mitzvahs, and then he goes on to explain that sheyo lo yirach levavam refers to man's natural, you know, response, you know, whether or not he's panicked or not. But lo yiru min ha'oivim means v'yomar shelo yivtechu baze b'gvurasam rak yashivu libam el Hashem v'yivtechu b'yishuaso v'yachshivu ki lo b'gvuras asus yachpats v'lo b'shokei ha'ir ish yirtze ki rotze Hashem v'sirayav esham yachalim l'chazdo. And then he goes on and he explains that that's what these two things are, and that basically that's the difference between the Kohen and the Shoter. The Kohen is referring to the bitachon, the Shoter is referring to the actual possibility of running away. And he says, "B'tam v'racha levav she'ena b'tivo liros makas chereg chere v'hereg ki hayare hu asher lo yivtach v'yachzer oso mipnei miut bitchono." So again, the person who puts the notes together here, who does a good job, just says, well, anyways, isn't there a stira in the Ramban because he doesn't count it in Sefer Mitzvos, and here he says it's a mitzvah? So he says, well, maybe what he means is that mitzad bitachon, there's a mitzvah, just not, you know, mitzad. You're allowed to be scared, you're not allowed to run away, or there's a haftacha that you won't run away, but anything that's a lack of bitachon is included in the losase aleph that was omitted according to the Ramban, namely the mitzvah of emunah, or not to forget Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the emunah that is instilled through that particular hashgacha. So while this isn't exactly the same, it's, you know, the Ramban in general, when he speaks about kochi v'yotzim yadi, both in Parshas Ekev and here, this sense of, you know, perspective, I guess, on the bitachon part is something that maybe more than any other Rishon, the Ramban projects very centrally. So even though there will be certainly situations where the Ramban will say that you can't be somech al hanes, and b'mokom sakana, you should be in violation of certain mitzvahs and isurim, I think it's a combination of two things that produce this shita. Number one, as I mentioned before, the counter pressures and what it is that you're giving up. And number two, this idea that for the Ramban, bitachon is something that really defines emunah. Again, the relationship exactly between emunah and bitachon is something that needs greater clarity. So let me just finish by saying, since my time is up, but this is really the main point, there seems to be, you know, there are different views about bitachon and hishtadlus. I think even historical experience in some cases represents a certain kind of pattern. Again, I don't mean that crudely. You know, oh, if you live in a certain end of experience, you're going to say this or that. What I mean is that, you know, the historical experience of Klal Yisrael as sometimes contributed, you know, to a greater appreciation of bitachon, especially when Klal Yisrael was powerless, and all they could do was be boteach. And, you know, in opportunities where hashgacha provided the opportunity to respond in a more, you know, active way, there were eras in which, including our own, if you take about the modern state of Israel and so on, where there's a greater appreciation for the hishtadlus part and the sense of responsibility. But I think at the end of the day, there is a dialectic. Everybody agrees that both of these are very important concepts. There is there are certain factors that sometimes distinguish, and there probably is a general, very subtle argument about what happens when these are, you know, mutually exclusive, which of these is a bigger issue. But in the end of the day, what we could walk away inspirationally with from both perspectives is that in the 99.9% cases where there is no clash, both of these principles, you know, are crucial to Avodas Hashem. The idea of bitachon, right, is the idea of, again, you know, kochi v'otzim yadi is unacceptable. The idea of believing that there's a certain destiny and a certain responsibility, but that in the end of the day, our fortunes lie, you know, the ein landu al mi lihisha'ein with the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and as much as we have to be mishtadel, the idea that our shtadlus isn't what does it per se, you know, it's in the end of the day, it's, you know, it's that bitachon. Even if you take the, you know, the normative decision of the ishtadlus, that I think is the most important, you know, aspect of it, the sense of your inner peace, sense of confidence, and just the perspective that you have, you know, once you're involved in the decisions that you make, as well as the being modeh and being, you know, expressing hoda'ah, both admitting, acknowledging, and expressing thanksgiving, you know, for seemingly the things that you're active involvement produce, but in the end of the day is part of, you know, bitachon, or in situations where your hands are tied, to have that sense of purposiveness and of confidence. In the other direction, of course, is the idea of achrayus, and the idea that we are junior partners with the Rabbanu Shel Olam in this world, you know, if we follow instructions, and that Ein Somchen al Hanes is not exploiting his hashgacha, number one. Part of appreciating it is not exploiting it. And in addition to that, part of our own activity is our passion and our embrace of the challenge and of the responsibility. And that sense of achrayus really is something which contributes to the, you know, and which is built on the bitachon as well. So in the end of the day, you know, what the Ramban says in Parshas Vayishlach is true for him and for everyone else. And that is that the ideal is the ideal that was pursued by Yaakov, of, you know, Doron and Tfila and Mochama, and that's something which paid homage to both of these critical themes. Okay, we'll stop here. Next time we'll try to do something in Avos. Another time I want to just maybe take some other perspectives on this issue, because there are some interesting